some trading changes.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The Securities and Exchange Commission has proposed a ban on a controversial practice known as flash trading. It's part of a larger effort to make the markets more transparent. Marketplace's Amy Scott reports.
Flash orders give some traders a sort of sneak peek at the market. It allows them to see an order to buy or sell stock a fraction of a second before that order is revealed publicly. The SEC is concerned the practice gives traders with lightning-fast computers an unfair advantage. The electronic stock exchanges NASDAQ and BATS recently stopped offering flash orders after the practice started drawing scrutiny this summer. But a rival market called Direct Edge has continued to offer its form of flash trading. The public has 60 days to comment on the proposed ban. The SEC yesterday also proposed rules to limit conflicts of interest and improve disclosure at credit rating agencies. They've been blamed for fueling the financial crisis by giving risky mortgage-backed securities their seal of approval. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Banks have reduced their borrowing from the Federal Reserve's emergency lending facility over the past week. They've also cut back use of other programs designed to ease the financial crisis. The reductions indicate banks are having an easier time obtaining credit and don't have to rely as much on the Fed for short-term loans. After a few days of buying, investors are doing a little profit-taking today. European shares are off slightly right now. However, the FTSE in London is pretty much flat. In Asia, stocks closed lower. The Nikkei and Hang Seng each shed about 0.2%. The market in Shanghai tanked today by 3%. On Wall Street yesterday, a little give back. The NASDAQ and S&P fell 0.3%. The Dow was basically flat, dropping about 8 points to close at 97.83. Smartphone maker Palm posted a smaller-than-expected loss for its first quarter. Company says falling revenues to blame. Palm's popular phone called the Pre did help narrow the loss, though. Maybe you got a nice surprise your last trip to the grocery store, a lower food bill. After skyrocketing last year, food prices are on the decline. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith has more.
It seems like everything is on sale at my local grocery store.
Milk is on special for $3.49. Cranberry juice on special two for $6.
Welcome to recession supermarket price wars. On the West Coast, Vons has put nearly one in every five items on sale. Out East, Giant Foods has doubled the number of sale items. Chains across the country are all cutting prices. But weren't these same stores jacking up prices last year? Harry Balzer studies food marketing at NPD Group. He says gas prices being lower than last year are part of it. The other part? Cash-strapped Americans refuse to spend more on food.
Consumers said, look, I'm going to moderate my food cost. Are you going to be with me or not? And you could certainly see some of the discount supermarkets who are doing very well, and the other supermarkets had to follow suit.
Balzer says a few years ago, supermarkets were wooing shoppers with sushi bars and fancy wine selections. But these days, cost is king.
Wine is $5.99 a bottle, but if you buy six or more, it's only $5.39. So we need to load up on wine.
In Los Angeles and heading to the Alka-Seltzer aisle, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing and online surveys. ConstantContact.com. And by CSX, working to reduce traffic and pollution while moving 750,000 tons of freight daily. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
All week, as part of our series, The Cure, we've been hearing from different groups about what's at stake for them in the healthcare debate. And today we check in with a small business owner. But before we hear from him, here's something to keep in mind. Small businesses typically pay more in premiums than big companies. And if one employee is sick or old, that could raise the price of insurance for everyone. Here's the story of one small business owner in Columbia, Maryland, who's struggling to provide benefits without breaking the bank.
My name is Brian England. I've been in business for 31 years. The name of the company is British American Auto Care, and we have 18 employees. I've always felt it's the right thing to do to provide health insurance. I mean, the healthier workers, they're the people who provide you the income. Last year, what I did was start one of these, what they call health savings accounts. What that meant was suddenly people had a $1,500 deductible for the HMO and a $4,000 deductible on the PPO. The insurance agent called me up and said, Brian, but you're lucky. And I said, well, why am I lucky? And he says, well, if Jeanette hadn't left, and she was 60 years old, your rates would have gone up additional 20%. And it suddenly the sort of penny dropped here, and I thought, my goodness, that is a very sad commentary, because when we go out there looking for insurance and we're judged on the average age, I have that in the back of my mind, and so I'm more likely to employ a younger person. We should not be put in that position. And I think dismantling the whole system is a good idea, I suppose, and I'd love to be out of this whole insurance thing. But I think trying to take away the employer side of it, I think it'd be too disruptive. I think, you know, we've got to try and make it better. First of all, everybody's got to provide healthcare. There should be a personal responsibility for people, say, that are self-employed. You can't have a situation where my business contributes and the business down the road doesn't. Get everybody insured, get in preventive care for everybody and see how that works out. Because we don't know how it's going to work out. I do know one thing, though. If we don't do anything, it's going to be a disaster.
Brian England is the owner of British American Auto Care in Columbia, Maryland, part of our series The Cure on the healthcare debate in America. The segment was produced by Mitchell Hartman. Finally, a cautionary tale for those who are a little more hands-on with Civil War history. A Virginia judge has dismissed a firearms charge against a Confederate reenactor who accidentally shot someone on the Union side. Joshua Silva paid $1,200 in restitution and had to take a firearms safety course after shooting and wounding a retired New York City police officer. Prosecutors say Silva didn't realize his replica gun was loaded with live ammo. Reenactment organizers also forgot to do the required weapons check. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Friday and a very nice weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.